Now I invite you to please pray with me. Lord God, I pray that you will speak through me and through my words today. I pray that you will speak directly to our hearts and our minds and our souls. I pray that every person listening will know more of who you are and will know your salvation through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Today is the day that the Christian church worldwide celebrates Jesus Christ, who as God the Son humbled himself to become human and to live as one of us, who was tortured and died on a cross, and who came back to life again, who was resurrected from death to life. Alleluia, Christ is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia. We celebrate today our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who conquered death. Now, why did Jesus have to conquer death? To heal once and for all the brokenness in creation due to sin, so that all who believe in him, all who put their faith in him, can be forgiven of their sin and can be restored into right relationship with God, ultimately to receive eternal life with God after death. We celebrate Jesus as our Savior. We celebrate Jesus as our Redeemer. Alleluia. Alleluia. Okay, we're on the same track here. Now, Savior. What is a Savior? We don't hear that very often. To begin with, a Savior, might be obvious, is one who saves, a person who saves someone or something from danger. A Savior would be one who had saved you. And from the time you are saved, your life is forever intertwined with your Savior because your future has been changed. For one who is saved, they never forget their Savior. I have a friend, many of you know her, who a few years ago, while on a hike in a park near her home, was brutally attacked. She and her friend were stabbed and left for dead. And while her friend died, she barely survived to stagger out of the woods. And it was then that others, many others, became her Savior. She lives her life today as a person who was saved. And every year on the date of her attack, and if you follow her on social media, many other times during the year, she's quick to tell her story. Every year, though, my friend publicly thanks her many saviors on social media. Every year she thanks the families who found her as she walked out of the woods and protected her and kept her alive. She thanks the medical doctors who saved her life and stitched her up, and who also went looking for, found, and stitched up and saved her dog. The police who tracked down her attackers, she thanks. The lawyers and judges who put them in jail forever, she thanks. Every year without fail, she thanks her saviors. Her life is forever intertwined with those who saved her. Her future was changed. She was brought literally from death to life, and she lets everyone know about it. Today is Easter Sunday, the day that the Christian church celebrates Jesus Christ as our Savior, the only one who changes our future, bringing us from a sentence of death because of sin to new life in his name alone. And that begs a question: how can we, or why should we, 2,000 years removed from Jesus' life on earth, in a world so intellectually and technologically advanced, why should we view Jesus as our Savior? And if Jesus is our Savior, what impact, if any, will that have on our lives? This morning I have 3 points to my sermon: God as Savior, Jesus as Savior, and the Savior's impact on life. So our first point, God as Savior. I want to first to just discuss who Almighty God is. And as we discuss Almighty God, we're talking about God the Father, the God of Abraham, the God of Israel. The God of Israel is the only God who declares and who declared himself to be Savior, to be the deliverer of salvation throughout the Bible, throughout Holy Scriptures. God is recorded to speak by his own voice and by the voices of his prophets, declaring that he alone is God and that he alone is Savior. When God called Abraham in Genesis 12, God said he would bless Abraham and that through Abraham and his descendants, all peoples on earth shall be blessed. All peoples on earth shall be blessed through you, Abraham, God said. And then when God saved Abraham's son Isaac from being sacrificed, God declared, because you have not withheld your son Isaac, I will surely bless you, and in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you obeyed my voice. God promises here to bless the world, all peoples, through Abraham's offspring. And that blessing includes God giving salvation and acting as Savior to the world. From the mouth of King David and those who wrote the Psalms, we read in Psalm 68, blessed be the Lord who daily bears us up. God is our salvation. Our God is a God of salvation, and to God, the Lord, belong deliverances from death. The original Hebrew in this psalm speaks of salvation, God's action, his help, his acts of deliverance. There are many others in the Psalms. From the Jewish prophets who declared God's word to his people. From the prophet Hosea, God said, but I am the Lord your God from the land of Egypt. You know no God but me, and besides me there is no Savior. There is no one to deliver or to rescue you except for me. The prophet Isaiah, declaring the word of the Lord, wrote, who told this long ago? Who declared it of old? Was it not I, the Lord? And there is no other God besides me, a righteous God and a Savior. There is none besides me. Turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. While other religions teach that people either need to be good or must save themselves through their own good works, our God declares he will save. He will save his people. No other God. No other God declared himself to be the Savior of his people, the one who rescues, the one who takes action to deliver. Only our God. Only our God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, only Almighty God is the Savior. In 2 Chronicles, we read this. The Lord declares, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. Our God takes action. He does the work. What's our work as we see it in this verse? What's the work of people who worship the Lord? To pray, to turn to him, to humble ourselves before him, to turn away from sin and wickedness, to repent, to trust and believe in him and to follow and live for him. God is the Savior. He does the work. That's our first point. Our second point, Jesus as Savior. Now, no one disputes that Jesus was a historical figure. No one disputes that he lived. Well, there may be some, but history declares that Jesus lived. But there are many different opinions of who Jesus actually was. Many claim Jesus was a good teacher. He was a good moral leader. He was a good example to follow. And all of those opinions are very different from who Jesus declared that he was. Jesus clearly declared, and it has been recorded in the historical record, that he said these things. That he is one with Almighty God. That he is the Son of God. And that he was the only way to the Father. That's not the church's good ideas. That's what Jesus spoke. In John chapter 3, Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." Jesus there, speaking of himself. In John chapter 14, Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." It's pretty clear. In John chapter 10, in a very hostile environment, we read, "So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, 'How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly.' And Jesus answered them, 'I and the Father are one.' And for that, they sought to stone him." Blasphemy for calling himself one with God. We know that Jesus lived. We know what Jesus taught and who he said he was from the historical record. And we also know from history that Jesus died a torturous death on the cross. There's no doubt that Jesus died and that he died on the cross. There was no swooning. There was no replacement. There were too many eyewitnesses for that to have happened. His disciples were there. Well, many had abandoned him. Some were there. The women were there. The Roman soldiers who were tasked with killing him attested that he was dead. Two men, one a Jewish leader and the other a rich, faithful Jewish man, prepared Jesus' dead body for burial. They knew it was Jesus. They knew what they were doing. They knew he was dead. There was no question that he was tortured, hung on a cross, and that he died. Now, we also know from eyewitness testimony that he was resurrected from the dead. Now, this is different from being raised from the dead like Lazarus. Lazarus was raised from death, but then Lazarus died. If you resuscitate someone with CPR or with the many other methods that modern medicine has, they still eventually die. Jesus was resurrected. Resurrected from death, never to die again. It's recorded that he ascended into heaven. He is the only one to be bodily resurrected from dead, from death. And we know this, not just through what's recorded in Scripture, but through our third point, the Savior's impact on life. Jesus, the Savior, was resurrected from the dead, thereby conquering death and proving or providing a way to eternal life. And that, the Savior's influence has an impact on the lives of those who encounter him. What else explains the transformation of the disciples? Scriptures so clearly record that they all turned away from him. They all fled. Scripture records that Peter, one of the lead disciples, denied that he even knew Jesus during his arrest and trial. All of Jesus' followers abandoned him on the cross. Peter returned to his job of fishing. None of them had a clue what had happened. Peter was a fisherman again until he encountered the resurrected and living Jesus. And the Savior's impact on his life, well, we read part of that from Acts chapter 10, as Peter is in a Roman area preaching to non-Jews, Savior in Jesus' name. And Peter died for his faith, never again to recant. He was killed for his faith. What else explains that? All of the disciples were forever changed after encountering the resurrected Lord Jesus. We read that in our gospel reading as it said, go and he will appear to you. Tell the disciples, go, he will appear to them. And he did. And they all proclaimed their faith in Jesus as their Savior until they were all killed for their faith. Not one turned back, not one denied their faith, demonstrating the impact of the Savior. How about Paul? Paul, formerly known as a Jewish religious leader, Saul, he did not believe in Jesus. He arrested and participated in the killing of Jesus. He was much like ISIS to those who followed Jesus. He believed that he was doing God's work in killing them. Until he encountered the resurrected Lord Jesus. He was transformed, and his letters to the church attest to his unwavering faith. His death for his faith in Rome attests to the impact of the Savior, Jesus Christ, on his life. Jesus is Savior. Jesus is the promised descendant of Abraham, the promised deliverer of salvation, who alone gives blessing to all the peoples of the world if they will turn to and believe in him. Jesus' work as Savior, dying on the cross to pay the price for the sin of every one of you, every man, every woman. Jesus acting, taking action to save those who believe in him. His work as Savior will forever change and influence the lives of those he saves. Peter was forever changed by the Savior. Paul was forever changed by the Savior. Jesus as Savior is a reality which brings new life, change and transformation to those who are saved through belief in him, as God the Son and his saving work on the cross. Many of you are tracking with me. Many of you would say you are followers of Jesus, that you believe that. If Jesus is your Savior, according to what we've just discussed, then he changes not only your eternal destiny from death to life, but he will initiate transformation and change in your life as you follow him. We see glimpses of that in our reading this morning from Corinthians, from Paul's first century letter to the church in Colossae. Paul writes to a church that's distracted from their new life in Jesus. They're distracted by worldly teaching and other worldly powers and priorities. They've returned to their old ways of life prior to their salvation. I'm not quite to Colossians 2 yet. They've forgotten their Savior and they're distracted by the world. And that description, I believe, that description, distracted by worldly teaching, distracted by other priorities and powers in the world, I believe is appropriate for so many who call themselves followers of Jesus. For so much of the church, they are distracted. They no longer display the impact of the Savior in their lives. Now, I'm talking today about those who say they believe in Jesus, but their lives don't demonstrate any difference or change. Salvation is just something they've added to their current life. It's like me, a Steelers fan, putting on a Jaguars hat. Does that make me not a Steelers fan? Yes. Maybe. Using that example, if I've got all my Steelers garb on and a Jaguars hat, it's obvious whose team I'm walking with, whose team I'm for. But when you see me driving a teal and black car with teal and black everything, with teal and black stickers, you know I've changed teams, yes? It's not just about putting on a hat and adding something to your current life. Paul declares to the church in Corinth, to those who are distracted from their faith, remember, folks, remember, this isn't just a good idea that you're following. Remember, you were dead in your sin. You were dead in your former life, and now you are alive. Now you have been saved. Now, the verse from Colossians 2. Paul writes, and you who were dead in your sin, God made you alive together with Jesus, having forgiven us all our sin by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This God set aside, nailing it to the cross. In our reading, we heard Paul instructing the church, since you are no longer dead but alive, since you've been raised with Christ, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. He implores the church to remember Jesus as Savior, Jesus as the center of their lives, as the source of life, as the only source of peace and of hope and of joy in this broken world. Jesus alone is Savior and salvation. You have died with Jesus, now you have new life, and if so, you've been impacted by the Savior. So he says, put off the old self with its practices and put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge. We didn't read that portion of Colossians, but it continues, put off sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk, and do not lie. Okay, I'm convicted. I'm done. Put off the old self. He says, put this off, church, and put on the new self. Follow the new priorities. It's a choice. It's not automatic. We want it to be automatic, that we're just changed and we stop doing what we used to do, but it's a choice. We can choose to seek to live God's way, or we can choose to follow our own way. You each have a choice to live with Jesus' priorities or to not. Paul pleads with the Colossian church, since you've been saved, you're no longer dead but alive, make the choice. Put off, we read, from verses 12 through 16, put off then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved. Put on then compassionate hearts. Put on kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another and, oh no, forgiving each other. And above all these things, put on love. How is it possible to not lie and avoid sexual immorality and idolatry in our culture? How is it possible to put off and then put these things on? Well, it's only possible through the saving efforts of Jesus Christ and his activity in your life. Not in your own effort or strength or good works. No, that's another religion. That's impossible to do it in your own strength. You can only do it dependent on the Lord. He is Savior. Empowered by God's Holy Spirit, spending time in and knowing the Word of God and His instructions for life. The church isn't a club where we who wear our hats come once a week to think about doing good things and maybe to do them. We are to be a community of faith transformed by the living Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen?
Amen.
May we be that church. We are to walk in community and live in community together. Today, you may fall into two categories. Well, three. Today, you may be actively following the Lord Jesus Christ and Savior, daily being transformed. And I pray that God will strengthen you to continue. Today, though, you may not yet know Jesus as Savior. You may not yet have yielded, humbled yourself before Him. And if you have not yet done that, Paul says you are dead. You are not alive in Christ. I pray you today will choose to turn to Him, to put your belief in Him, in Jesus, who is God the Son, who is Savior of the world. I've said this before and I'll say it again. I've got coffee or lunch for anyone who wants to continue this discussion. If you doubt, if you don't believe, if you think this is for someone else, but you want a free lunch, let me know. For those of you who say you believe in Jesus, perhaps God's convicting you that you perhaps have not been following Him. Perhaps you've been distracted. Maybe you're realizing you've forgotten your Savior, that you're not living the new life He purchased for you. I pray today will be a new beginning, will be a day where you choose a new beginning. I pray each of you will choose to believe in Jesus Christ as resurrected Lord and Savior, and that one day at a time, day by day, walking in community with the church, you will choose His new life and His new priorities, and day by day be transformed. I pray that as you live, you will be His witnesses and proclaim His blessing of salvation and new life in Jesus to the world around you. May we be that church that is transformed by our living Savior. And may you not leave today without doing business with that reality. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.